Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Gary Ellerson, the former Packer and Badger running back.
Yeah, I am, Steve. Okay.
Hello, Gary.
Leroy Butler, inventor of the Lambeau Leap, Packer Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah.
Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist. Hello, Leroy.
Finalist. Mm-hmm. Everything good. I want to be Leroy Butler when I grow up.
Oh, there's no room for that.
Man, shoot. Leap 36. Uh-huh. Got cool. Like 4 or 5 books.
Yeah, I think I don't think I'd want to be. I think he's too famous. Yeah. I don't think I'd want to deal with all of that.
Yeah, 4 or 5 books.
Yeah, no. And then, you know, all the pain and stuff that you're in, you know, throughout the day from playing that career
no
and all
pain,
that other stuff.
No pain,
yeah, I'm not trying
yeah,
to.
He is.
No. Yeah, he is. No.
Gary Irvin, yeah, he is.
Yeah. I'm not trying to be Leroy.
Fake it till you make it.
Yep.
Okay. Both of y'all writing books soon. Both of y'all should have started on these books. We could have made some money. I could have been afford on both of y'all books.
Had nothing else to do, I guess. Ryan McMillan, the athletic director of Muskego High School, he's going to join us coming up here in about 45 minutes or so. Talk about the really where high school sports stands here during the course of summertime and as far as what's being allowed and what's not being allowed this summer. So we'll talk with him. And then at 3:35, bringing back a former co-host of the Wendy's Big Show, Rami Makhlouf, who was at Score North at one point, is no longer there anymore, but still living in uptown Minneapolis. And these riots that you've been seeing on TV are happening right outside of his building, literally. So we will talk with Rami Makhlouf and check in with him coming up at 3:35. So you want to stay tuned for that.
I hope they don't burn down his building.
So does he, yes. Top 5 Friday on The Fan as well. Top 5 Packer wide receivers of all time. That's what we're going to do coming up at 4 o'clock, and that's based off of a Sam Decker tweet from a few days ago talking about, you know, Devonta Adams maybe being the best wide receiver of all time in Green Bay. Gary responded, I responded, a bunch of other people responded. So we're going to straighten this all out coming up at 4 o'clock.
Let's
top 5 Packers wide receivers of all time. You can also tweet us throughout the show if you'd like. At 105.7 FM, The Fan. We're going to start off.
I wore my mask today, Leroy, to pick and save, just so you know.
Good for you. Proud of you.
Go ahead.
Don't you normally wear your mask to pick and save, Gary?
Yeah, but I was feeling good. I ain't let them shame me this time. I felt real good about it.
Oh, that's what you're talking about.
I got confidence. Yeah, I got confidence from you guys yesterday, Gary. Just don't worry about what other folks doing. Just wear your mask. I feel real good about it today. I got reinvigorated.
You also feel good about it when you see somebody else, too. Maybe you just walk in the store with 5 people without theirs, and then you see somebody with theirs, you feel comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, you give them like the thumbs up, you know? It's kind of like riding a Harley Davidson or something.
Good. Okay. All right. So
go ahead, Steve.
We're going to start off the show today talking about Jordan Love and the Packers. I know we've done it 100 times. I totally understand that. But yesterday, Mark Murphy was on the show, the president and CEO of the Green Bay Packers, and he was asked about the Jordan Love pick right off the bat.
Yeah, no, I'm very supportive of it. Brian and I were in communication, and Yeah, you know, it's the reality is it's not only the most important position in football. I would argue it's the most important position in all of sports. And there's an old saying in the NFL that the best time to take a quarterback is when you don't need one. And we don't need one now. I mean, obviously Aaron's, you know, still playing at a very high level. And, yeah, I guess I look at it. I give Brian credit. I think, you know, that he had the courage of his convictions, you know, that he obviously thinks a lot of Jordan and thinks he could be a great player for us. And, you know, but he's not going to help us right away.
Well, no, he better not have to help you right away, because if he has to help you right away, then that means Aaron Rodgers got hurt or right. Something happened, and that will not be a good thing, obviously.
What I heard out of that is, remember that foolishness we were hearing about using Jordan Love on the field, like Taysom Hill? It ain't happening.
Who said that?
Okay.
Did somebody say that?
Oh, where you been?
I obviously wasn't here during that. I obviously must have been gone during that time frame.
It was all everywhere, man. They're going to use him like Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill reminds us of the quarterback in Baltimore. I mean, so why wouldn't you use him? And then a lot of people wrote about it. And our Green Bay guy that used to leak stuff to all the time, he had some, Jay Glazer had some, he talked to some of these coaches down there. And, you know, these coaches in New Orleans, of course, the way they use him, they're going to use him the same way. Like Lamar Jackson, I say Lamar Jackson is an MVP that can throw the football. Taysom Hill cannot throw to that level, okay? Stop it. So people say, what if they use Jordan Love like that? I say, if they use Jordan Love like that, coming off the bench like Taysom Hill, that means somebody in that building think he can't play quarterback. So I was very refreshing to hear that Mark said he is not going to help us now. So that was very refreshing.
Okay, so that was Mark Murphy talking there. And then we went on to talk about comparing that pick to the Rodgers pick.
I think for the long term, it was it'll be a very good move. And, you know, it gives me, you look back, you know, say what you want about Ted Thompson. The best thing he did was drafted Aaron Rodgers when he had Brett Favre. And, you know, hopefully we'll have a similar conversation 10 years from now about this pick.
All right, so there you go. President and CEO Mark Murphy on the Wendy's Big Show yesterday. If you didn't hear it, you can always use that rewind feature. You can still use that at the radio.com app that you have on your phone. Or you can go to 105.7fmthefan.com. Use Fan on Demand, brought to you by John Paul's Buick GMC. So that was yesterday on the Wendy's Big Show. Then this morning on the DA show on CBS Sports Radio, DA got to talking about Matt LaFleur and the Packers and how they keep explaining that, hey, look, you know, he was the next best player on the board at that point when we picked, and we had to take him. Best player available. That's how things go. The DA show did not necessarily agree with how Matt LaFleur and others in the Packers organization are continuing to spin this, and this is what he had to say earlier this morning on CBS Radio.
They saw Jordan Love as a successor to Aaron Rodgers, and they said, we can't let this guy get past us. We're going to be aggressive in going up and getting him. He did not fall to them. That wasn't the next guy on the board. That was their guy, and they spent draft capital to go get him. And so I got a problem with this right now with Matt LaFleur. I like Matt LaFleur. I like what he did last year with the Packers. He went 13-3, got to an NFC Championship game in year number one. There's a lot to admire about that early success. But again, don't sell us on, well, just, you know, best guy on the board. We just had him ranked best guy on the board. We just had to take him. This guy didn't fall to you. You traded up to get him. You had a plan. You were willing to be aggressive because you were worried he would slip by you, and you got plans for him. So I just don't like the lie here, okay? Because Matt LaFleur should say, look, we believe he can be a really good quarterback, and we need to safeguard against the fact that Aaron Rodgers might not have a lot of football left. And so this is the future. We need to plan accordingly, and we feel really good about Jordan Love. So we had to get aggressive. We knew there were going to be teams between us and when he was available that were going to take him, and we felt like it was worth the cost. Okay, fine. I disagree with not giving Aaron Rodgers help right now. I disagree with not drafting a wide receiver. I disagree with not giving him another first-round piece to win a Super Bowl right now. And I also disagree with pushing him out the door. But at least you'd be honest. At least I could trust your answer there. That, look, you see something that other people may not, and you're saying, you know what? We're preparing for life after. But instead to say, hey, he just was best guy on the board, just fell to us. That's a lie.
Okay, so there is DA from the DA show earlier today on CBS Sports Radio, which leads to this question. You've heard Mark Murphy. You've heard DA's take on what Matt LaFleur has been telling people. Do you think Jordan Love was a Packers guy going into the draft, regardless of who was still on the board? 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'll start with you, Leroy Butler. What do you think?
Put me in this spin cycle. I think I can do it better than anybody.
Well, you should show the Packers how to do it then.
Yeah. Now, it's not a lie. Here's why. They had a concerted effort. If the word fail come into the 20s, we're willing to go there. We're not moving up to the teams. Okay? They're not doing it. That would be considered really making a move. They moved up, what, four spots? You got a guy in the 20s. Yeah, if he fall down to the 20s, let's get him. Look like he's falling to the 20s. Oh, okay. Well, let's get ready. Get on the phone. Hey, man, this man coming right where we think we can get him in the 20s. Okay, move. Give him a fourth-round pick. Let's move up and get it. That's what happened. That's, to me, him falling. And he failed to him. They thought a few teams would probably grab him in the late teens, maybe. Because there was a lot of hype going into this draft about him. But if he get anywhere in the 20s, in the teens we could leapfrog, it'll do it. Let's do it. I don't see no problem with it. And again, they know stuff we don't know. And I'm not, hey, listen, that's his opinion. I never, you know, I don't rip on people for their opinion. I really don't do that. So I just like to hear what he's saying and just go for that. But when you're saying they lied to you, I think we need to explore that a little bit more and say that had they moved up 10, 15 spots, yeah, you're right. They didn't. He didn't fall to you. That don't look like the truth.
Not like Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers fell. Ted didn't move up to get him.
Yeah.
He was there. They didn't. But they weren't the aggressor.
But see, my thing is, once you get in the 20s, to me, go up four spots is really not that big of a move. It's just what you gave up to move up. You probably could have I don't know for sure, but you probably could have moved up with a sixth-round pick. But if it's a guy you really want, give him more than what you got to overpay to get what you want. We know this. Anything you want in life, you got to overpay for it. Fine. If he get in the 20s, this is the plan B. But guess what? It worked perfectly to them. He got to a spot they wanted in the 20s. They moved up to get him. Hey, everybody can agree that we were shocked or surprised, but they seem to be happy. It worked exactly how they wanted their board to come out. To a T. The top three players they got, A.J. Dillon, Josiah, that kid, and the quarterback, were the three people they wanted. And they got him. I don't think it's a lie when you get the guy that you want.
Okay, so that leads us to...
You can take me out of the spin cycle now, Steve.
Okay, out of the spin cycle goes Leroy, nice and clean. Yeah. Do you think Jordan Love was the Packers guy going into the draft, regardless of who was still on the board? 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. And we'll get Gary's thoughts coming up after a quick timeout. But first, breaking news on The Fan, brought to you by the Dell Technology Small Business Podference. Go listen at radio.com/Dell. It concerns the NBA. Shams Charania from The Athletic and from Stadium Sports tweets out, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver and the league office have informed the Board of Governors that July 31st is a target date for return of the season, according to Shams on Twitter. So apparently the NBA looking to resume playing, whether it's playoffs or regular season games and then playoffs, however this whole thing is going to play out, they are looking to resume play at the end of July. Now, Major League Baseball has been talking about this whole time of trying to resume play at the beginning of July. The NBA, who seems a lot closer getting this thing done, the Major League Baseball is targeting July 31st. And if baseball can't get this figured out, that means we're going to have two more months, full months of June and July before we see any sports on TV, unless the NHL could sneak their way in there before the NBA does. So we'll just have to wait and see how this thing plays out. But it looks like Bucks fans are going to be waiting until probably August before you actually start seeing Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks back in action.
I've waited this long. I could wait a little more.
Wait, but see, this is the issue, though. And we'll talk. We could talk about this at some other point in the show. But the issue really is, Gary, is based on everything the NFL is doing, they're saying everything's still on schedule. If everything's still on schedule, when the NBA starts, the Packers are already going to be getting ready for their first preseason game. I mean, that's how late they're talking about coming back. So you'll already have sports talk stations and websites and everything else in full training camp mode for football and really being focused on the NFL. And then the NBA is going to try and sneak in and garner some of that interest in that audience. To me, it seems like July 31st is way, way too far away for them to get an advantage TV-wise.
Yeah, Steve, there's enough to go around. I don't think there's any kind of competition with that. I think a lot of people, well, let's just stay here in our state. A lot of people looking forward to when the Milwaukee Bucks are going to come back and play. For most certainly, it's the first time we've been in this type of situation where we've had the best player in the league. They will get all the coverage that they most certainly deserve in the state. I think it will be relatively new because it's something that we're coming back from. We've never seen this COVID thing. Yeah, and I know you kind of like to do this kind of stuff, kind of pit one stuff up against
Gary, we saw it last year. They won 70 games. We talked about the Packers until the season was over and barely touched on the Bucks their whole run.
It's a unique situation. The reason why we barely talked about the Bucks on the
And we're in Milwaukee.
Because the Bucks were just beating everybody up.
So they were too good to talk about.
Yeah, there was nothing really to talk about. I mean, it was just so damn good. I mean, what there was no bad stuff coming out. They were playing together as a team. They're blowing jokers out. They're winning the games they were supposed to win. It was just we were waiting. We got so where we were just waiting for the playoffs. So no, I think this will be completely different in that you had a shutdown of everything. I think people will consume it. It will be like you going to, and we probably won't have these anymore. It'll be like you going to the Old Country Buffet, all you can eat, right? That's what's going to happen with sports. You got NBA, you got the NFL. People are just going to just sit at home. They might even work out ever again. So, yeah.
But it's right across the street from the Golden Corral. Everything is right across. You just make your choice.
Yeah, all of that. So, I think it won't affect them, Steve. I think people here in the state just can't wait to see the Milwaukee Bucks. And preseason is preseason. I mean.
Not with Jordan Love.
Yeah, but Jordan Love is not going to be playing.
Jordan Love will be playing in preseason games. Aaron Rodgers will not. So that will be preseason. That is what everybody's going to be talking about, analyzing every throw the man makes. That is what this preseason is going to be about. It will be about Jordan Love.
Are you asking me will the Packers be bigger than the Bucks if they start at the same time? Are you asking me that? Is that what you want to ask me?
I'm not asking you. I'm saying, in my opinion, that if this thing doesn't get going until July 31st, like they're saying, that's the target date by NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, according to Shams. If that's the case, and we're in training camp already, and everything is going off like normal for the NFL, and preseason games are going to be going off the same way, yes, I don't think the Bucks starting up is going to take precedence over Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers in a majority of this state. I know.
Bucks always play the victim, sure. Man. It's so funny.
In this state? Sure. Well, I mean, Leroy, you go to different parts of the state and you go talk about Bucks basketball compared to the Packers and tell me where do you think they're talking about? Go to Madison and ask Madison Sports Talk Radio, do they talk more about the Packers or the Bucks? Then go to Green Bay, ask the same question. Go to lacrosse. Go all over the state, ask these people.
Well, it's not fair to ask because we know what the answer is. But
right?
you run the show. Just give us a buck, talk of it. We'll talk about it. You don't want to talk bucks. Don't even want to talk bucks.
Leroy?
All you got to do is say, let's talk bucks, guys. They won 70 games. And we'll talk about it. We're going to vote you off the island.
Well, when you're in the big show meetings, then you can have a say, too. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, executive producer, Dan Plucker. Don't forget, coming up at 4 o'clock, top five Fridays here on The Fan. Top five Packer wide receivers of all time. This comes off of a Sam Decker tweet from a few days ago when he talked about Davante Adams maybe being the best of all time. Tweet us who you think are the top five Packer wide receivers of all time. Plus, we'll take calls at 4. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. The question on the table: do you think Jordan Love was the Packers guy going into the draft, regardless of who was still on the board? DA from the DA show, weekday mornings on CBS Sports Radio, which of course you don't hear on this station because we have our Bart Winkler show going on at that very same time. Said earlier, we played the clip earlier, that he's just not buying what Matt LaFleur and the Packers are selling, saying that he was the best player on the board. He's not buying it at all. Gary Ellerson, what say you?
Give it to me again, Steve.
Do you think Jordan Love was the Packers guy going into the draft, regardless of who was still on the board?
Well, here's what I truly think. I think they had some contingency plans. I feel like, very similar to what Leroy's saying, I don't think it's just that cut and drive, just to give you a yes or a no. I think they had other guys in mind that they wanted at certain type of situations. And if Jordan Love fell to them or got close to them, he was, I would say this, Steve, maybe he was their number one target. If it all worked out, if the scenarios worked out how they wanted them to, I think they had a plan was, okay, at such and such, we'll give up a pick to go get him if he's there. If he's gone at 15, if he's gone at 16, if he's gone at 17, if he's gone at 18, we're not going that high. So I think that, and then we'll just stay where we are and we'll take whoever falls to us. So I think there was a contingency plan in place. We'll never know, right? Because they ain't going to never tell us. But it feels like to me that they had a contingency plan in place. If he got close to them, that they would take him. Because you look at the Green Bay Packers, they really never just focus on one guy. I think it's a multitude of guys that they are looking at when they're looking to draft a guy at any position, in any round. I think they have a host of guys on their boards who they're thinking about getting. Now, I think they have different scenarios where they have already worked out within their people that they have, you know, in their little small circle on guys they're going to take. So I think it's a yes and no. I think it happened just right for the Green Bay Packers. They felt it was worth, if he fell, you know, right where he did, that they would move up and go give him a fourth-round pick for him. I think that was in their wheelhouse to go take him. What say you, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer?
I think Jordan Love was their guy going in. But I guess my thing is, you know, this wasn't a Ricky Williams trade, you know, where Ditka gave up his whole draft to go get Ricky Williams, and he was the only guy that they were going to draft, and the whole draft rested on whether or not they got Ricky Williams. That's not what this was. But at the same time, I've never been in a draft room, so I don't know how it works. I get that you have, you know, say 2, 3, 4 players that you really would like at your pick, let's say. Mm-hmm. But when you're down at the end of the first round, the likelihood of probably getting those players gets slimmer and slimmer. So at some point, you have to figure out, okay, of the small group of players I have, are all these guys I'm willing to trade up to try and go get? So let's say CeeDee Lamb was one of their group of guys. And the Cowboys said they were getting trade calls, that people were trying to trade up to that spot. Maybe the Green Bay Packers were one of those teams trying to get up to get CeeDee Lamb for Aaron Rodgers.
And we'll never know.
And the Cowboys said, no, we're not trading the pick. So that's not happening. Mm-hmm. But then the issue lies in, you know, like San Francisco. They go up. They're able to get the wide receiver that Green Bay very well could have done the same deal for and gotten a wide receiver. But then when the draft is all done, you didn't add a single wide receiver in the draft. The linebacker that you added was a guy that was hurt at Minnesota and fell in the draft because of injury. It wasn't like you took a round pick on a linebacker either. To me, all signs point towards they were coming into this draft. They were locked on to Jordan Love coming in and hoping
that he would fall far enough down the board to where they were able to go get him. Leroy, how do you see it?
And I think that's the perfect scenario they had. Now, it was some talk that they wanted to go up and get Ojuke, the wide receiver that San Francisco jumped up to grab. But these guys were prepared, man. They said, well, this is the scenario we want. They don't want to be caught like Minnesota. Okay, the one guy we want, okay, great. We're going to just wait on him. Nope, no plan B. We're going to wait on him. And somebody jumps ahead of you and select that guy, and you don't even turn a card in. You have to be prepared. Their board was set up. The top three guys they got were perfect for what they wanted to do. They went into that saying, we disagree with all these pundits and all these draft people that this is the top 25, these are the best receivers in 25 years. We disagree with that. We like one or two guys, but it's not going to stop from what we're doing. So they didn't think that it was worth going up to get any of those guys. But if they had moved for somebody moved up to get Jordan Love, and Jordan Love is gone, that could be a question to Brian Gutekunst. Because what if a team would select Jordan Love? Who did you like? That would be a great question. Mm-hmm. And he said, hey, man, listen, with the way Patrick Queen went behind Jordan, probably would have took him, you know, or a wide receiver who was on the board at that time, or a lineman. But no, it was perfect. It was a perfect storm for these guys. And we have been hearing some chatter about them going in a different direction and getting hit, you know, certain pieces for his offense that he wants to run, the head coach. And these three guys are what he wants to run in the future. Moving forward, he's going to develop these guys. So when he signs his next extension, his next contract, because he has a four-year deal, he'll be settled in with everybody he wants. Sort of like these high schoolers and some of these recruitings. When you're a new coach, you come in, I need to get my guys in here. Sometimes it takes 4 years. You need two or three graduations. Okay. All right. I got my guys that I've recruited. They're under my system. They run what I like to run. Now you can judge how good of a coach I am. And I think that's what they did.
Do you think Jordan Love was the Packer guy going into the draft, regardless of who was still on the board? That's the question. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. When Mark Murphy was on the show yesterday on the Wendy's Big Show, he talked about, did they actually talk to Aaron Rodgers? Leroy asked me if fans think you should have talked to Aaron Rodgers before you did all this stuff with Jordan Love, and this is what he had to say.
There was communication beforehand that it was a possibility.
Yeah.
And Matt was very supportive of it. I mean, I don't think you talk to players and ask them, should we do this or should we do that? I do think shortly after the pick, I know, and it made it a little difficult because we were in, a virtual situation. We weren't all in the war room at Lambeau Field, but I know Matt talked to Aaron shortly after the pick.
You know, this
which we did not know shortly after the pick. We did not know that.
I asked that question for Tim. Remember, Tim said he thought they should call him up.
Right, absolutely. And I go back to what the Colts said that they did prior to the Jonathan Taylor pick. They reached out to their starting running back and said, hey, man, just so you know, we just traded up, and we're taking Jonathan Taylor here from the Badgers, a running back, and this is how it affects you and how we're going to play this thing. So they texted him and told him what was going on before that pick was made. Now, did they do that because they saw the reaction of what happened with the Jordan Love pick and people complaining that, you know, Rodgers wasn't made aware of it beforehand? I don't know. Maybe that played into why they reached out to, you know, Mac, their running back, in order to get that done. But for me, regardless if you were in the war room or not, that doesn't change the fact that you would have reached out to him one way or the other. Because even if they were all sitting in the war room, Gary, I still am not convinced they would have reached out to Rodgers before that.
No,
pick.
No, they wouldn't have. That's not what they're going to do. They? No, no.
So
they're not. But I do like, and because we did not know this, that's new information. I do like the fact that he said he called him afterwards. Now, afterwards, we don't know if it was the next day afterwards or right after the pick afterwards. But I do like the fact that they did pick up the phone call and have a conversation with them, so it's not just sitting out there.
Okay, let's get to the latest on the COVID-19 pandemic with CBS News. But first, J&J Contractors. I think of them every time I look at our beautiful deck. You okay, Gary? No, he's not okay. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back after CBS News here on The Fan. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler live from the G. Wagner Plumbing Studios, gwagnerplumbing.com for all of your plumbing needs. Coming up in the next segment, we'll check in with the athletic director of Mosquito High School, Ryan McMillan, talk about what high school sports plan I'm doing this summer. Now that, well, school is going to be done here officially with all your Zoom classes and everything else. Coming up after the first week of June, June 9th or so in that area. And then we'll check in with Rami Makaloff, former co-host of the Wendy's Big Show, living in Minnesota now. And he is right smack dab in the middle of where all the riots have been going on and so forth, right outside of his building. So we'll get his thoughts on what's been going on in his city in Minneapolis. Before we get to all of that coming up, a news story that was out. I don't know if I call it, maybe not a news story, but Falcon center Alex Mack has been quoted, and I'll read you his quotes, a little bit concerned about the lack of noise in stadiums if there are no fans allowed in to these NFL games. Quote, this was told to Vaughn McClure of ESPN. Quote, I'd be concerned with people hearing my calls. I don't want that recorded and let the opposing team next week hear everything we say, because then every week we have to change every code word, term, line call we've ever used, and that to me is annoying, and so I don't want to do that. But I like the idea of finding new ways to entertain people and add, like, the second level of sports viewing for people at home, because it's all we have, says Alex Mack. Gary, what do you say to that?
Would
you have to change calls every week if you're being able to be heard on TV loud and clear?
I don't know. I think you know what your calls are. You have certain calls. You have dummy calls. I mean, you just don't call one call, right? I mean, you have multiple calls that you are calling out at that particular time. So you have to distinguish which is the dummy call and which is the real call. But those guys can hear that anyway. I mean, if you are an inside linebacker or you're a defensive lineman, you're right there. You can hear all the calls. The crowd noise, isn't so bad where you won't know, where it is. Now, I suppose if you were, let's say maybe in the dome in New Orleans, that gets pretty loud. Maybe they pipe noise through the new facility, U.S. Bank, up there in Minnesota. But I think for the most part, guys are close enough to know what the calls are.
Leroy, I saw you respond to this tweet that was put out earlier today. Your thoughts?
How long have you been playing? Can y'all look this up?
Been in the league a long time. He started in the league with the Browns. He was a first-round pick, I believe.
Well, maybe in the Browns. Don't really care about it. No one cares about your damn calls. But let's get back to reality. I know all the damn calls. That don't mean I can stop it. And I know. That is sad when I heard that. We ran the same offense, West Coast offense. It all means the same. You can flip it, like Gary said. You can make it dummy calls. But who doesn't hear Brett Favre, Blue 18, or hear Aaron Rodgers, Green 48? And you hear all of his audibles. You hear everything. They're mic'd up. Quarterbacks are mic'd up.
He's been in the league 8 years, Leroy. 8 years.
Oh, come on, man. He know better than that. If he don't know, now you know. We already hear everything, cuz. We hear everything. When we check the cover two, you don't think Steve Young. I just heard them say cover two. But are they really in cover two? I ain't got time to figure it out. I'm going through my progression. I'm just doing my thing, and my system works. I got a progression. So what did? That ain't got nothing to do with it, okay? It doesn't. And I'm surprised more veterans are just sending the emoji laughing, like, are you kidding me? And then to say you don't feel you'd have to change the sign every week? Are you kidding? The coaches don't mind doing that. But do you actually think the coaches are going to even entertain? They believe in their system. Everybody hear everything. Even on the sideline, it's all mic'd up over there. It's all mic'd up. And they stuff is, has he not played against New England? The Patriots know everything that's called, okay? Matter of fact, they were filming it too. So to me, it was just a side eye like, are you kidding? You just finding this out that people hear calls? And then when the XFL was around, that's what people wanted. Didn't people, Steve, didn't y'all want to hear these calls?
Yeah, I think yeah. So. But his argument is he thinks that from the offensive perspective, he's going to have to change calls every week and have to memorize and learn new lingo every week, and that's something he doesn't want to have to do.
Oh, that's being lazy then.
Well, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, it is.
If my coach put up there, we're changing this to this, I'm smart enough to do it. Change it every week.
Is everybody whatever smart enough to do it in the locker room, though?
Yes, of course. Right. I just said, you the word, you just lazy, don't want to do it. I don't want to do it, but I'll do it, of course. You got to be, how can you as an athlete be laser focused to play a game not many people can play, but you can't be focused enough to hear dialogue and it bothers you? Then you're not really focused. When you hit the field, you're focused in. If the place is full, great. If it ain't, once that ball starts moving, you play football. But that's just me on the field, more laser focused, and in the classroom. Change what you want, coach. You put in 18-hour days, and the coaches know. The coaches know. They know. They knew it was a called box poach. Ray Rhodes put it in. It was like a quarters coverage. San Francisco ran it. Dallas Cowboys ran it. We ran it. You can stop me. I can name 15 more teams. We all ran box poach. You knew it. And they'd say it. But the Cowboys, they had four guys going after the quarterback. We don't care that you know. It doesn't matter. We know what two jet all go means in West Coast. You just run it. And it's going to be successful. The difference is my players study harder than yours and mine are better than yours.
All right, we'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We will talk with Ryan McMillan, the athletic director of Muskego High School, and he's going to fill us in on what really is the plan now for high school sports this summer of what's going to play, what's not going to play, and how it's it all going to be worked out so everybody is safe and so forth. We'll talk with Ryan McMillan next here on the Wendy's Big Show. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. See Sparky Pfeiffer, along with Gary Ellerson, the former Packer and Badger running back, Leroy Butler, inventor of the Lambeau Leap. Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist, Packer Hall of Famer here on The Fan, live from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. For all your plumbing needs, check him out at GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. There on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, he is the athletic director over at Muskego High School, Ryan McMillan. Thanks for coming on, Ryan.
Hey, you're welcome. Appreciate you guys having me.
Okay, I guess first things first, as far as how this has impacted everything that you do, I guess, in your day-to-day work, obviously with no students in school, spring sports really never got going either. Baseball season looks like that's not happening. Spring baseball not happening either for Wisconsin sports, which now means that those kids that play on travel baseball will probably still be able to play travel baseball this summer, but otherwise they're done. How has it affected you, Ryan?
It's been different. There's no doubt about it. I would like to tell you it's been less busy, but it hasn't. There has been lots of questions, lots of wonderings, lots of, providing reassurances, constantly checking on the latest and greatest information, and really just kind of being that intermediary between the decision makers and our coaches and kids and families, and trying to continue programming to our greatest ability with little to no warning, and some virtual instruction and some of those other things that we've been able to do. And it's been different because a lot of times you're not in the office, but it's definitely different work. And I'll tell you, I got two little ones at home too, and managing the little elementary kids and virtual school and answering the phone call, it's been interesting.
You know, you look at your, obviously you've had a lot of programs who won state championships last year, most notably your football team, and that will be the first sport to get started. How are you guys trying to, because those guys need to be trained, they need to be in the weight room, all those types of things. How are you guys trying to work that out and stay in touch with your players that are coming up right now with the first of the season?
So that's a great question. There has been constant communication between our coaches and our players. We've done a little bit more on the cognitive side of things in terms of mental training and challenging kids, and you know, even getting them up early and still connecting via the computer. And we do have the physical end of it is still going on. Our weight strength director, Mr. Malachnik, has been in contact with kids, and a lot of kids have started to take a lot of our core principles and find other auxiliary facilities to training because the state of Wisconsin opened up gyms. So now you're starting to see some kids access other facilities or unique ways. I saw a video of one of our kids power cleaning a brush bushel, if you will, as a whole bunch of twigs and branches and all sorts of stuff, doing the exact same movement that you do in a weight room, but out in nature, if you will. So there's been some back and forth there. Obviously, we don't have the facility that we'd like to have to train the masses quickly and efficiently, but there has been that back and forth, and really we're relying on the kids to check in with us, submit videos, submit artifacts, if you will, a proof of work, and so they're kind of getting it all done individually, but it's unique to each individual, that's for sure.
Ryan, I also heard that, and I don't know if this is true or not, that maybe there's some spring sports that may be able to get going this summer. Can you make some clarification on that?
Yeah, so back in, I believe it was March now, it might have been April, the WIA released that when they canceled all of the spring sports, they released a statement saying that spring sports will be allotted an extra 4 weeks of contact with their student athletes, because every program gets 5 contact days anyway. The kicker became, as that came out, is you still have to follow all the rules and you have to abide by all the guidelines, and it was an interesting decision, but yeah, that's kind of what you're hearing out there when it comes to spring sports, where you know some places may be using those extra 30 days, other places have kind of turned the page and said we really need to start focusing on the safety and health of everyone involved and finding a way to get our fall sports off the ground again. And moving forward, because if we don't get our fall sports going, how are we ever going to get winter or the next spring going? So that's kind of the lay of the land right now.
Well, Ryan, I got two quick questions. This is Leroy Butler. First of all, how about the financial impact? Because teachers, you know, have been off for a while. Coaches have been off. I mean, it's hard when, I mean, it hit everybody in the United States. So How the financial has hit the sports overall?
Yeah, so it's obviously we don't have the alternative revenue coming into our school district, you know, from gate sales and
right.
Things that athletics can bring in for you right now. I mean, teachers for the most part have been able to continue moving forward with all the virtual tools and curriculums and adjustments that we've been needed to make and have made and have kept kids going. I know coaches from the high school level, I'd like to tell you every coach out there still was able to get paid and do some things virtually and connect with kids. And in some school districts, that has been the case. They've done a really good work virtually and kept the processes moving. In other places, some of the coaches weren't paid because they didn't have a season. And you know, so it's just kind of individual to each school district and where they were at and how they viewed things and what their district decided to do in terms of the level of connection and instruction virtually.
Well, that's
real quick, Steve. How has it impacted the NCAA with some of the kids who are getting recruited last year or even this year. Have you heard anything on that? I mean, because a lot of these schools say they're going to try to take in a fall and just cut it by Thanksgiving if it was some of your kids going to be attending some of these universities this year. Next year, I guess it'll be a little bit easier.
Yeah, so that's a great question, Leroy. And it's funny because yesterday I sat in on the webinar from the NC2A. And the long and skinny of it is they made certain adjustments to allow kids to be able to qualify with some core credits. And, you know, a kid might be taking a needed English class or
certain things
that might factor in, or that GPA requirement. Essentially, they've waived some of that and given leniency there because, you know, some kids might not have access to all the educational tools they need to be able to rock it, and they're not going to hold it against a kid for getting a C when normally he could get an A if he was face-to-face. So they've adjusted some of the qualifier rules that way, and they did make it very clear yesterday that they're doing this, but they don't foresee the NC2A to continue to do this, because that was one of the questions from one of the schools across the nation was, do you foresee this being allowed to continue and have it just be the standard? And it was very clear that, no, this isn't going to be the standard. We're going to go back when schools go back and go back to the previous guidelines. But they did not want to hinder this year's graduating class in terms of getting in to school and qualifying and doing all the clearinghouse stuff.
Talking with Ryan McMillan, athletic director at Muskego High School. Well, what about football? Has there been any things determined as far as when football is going to begin? Will it be everything like normal, no changes, or where are we at in that process?
Well, I can tell you all of our football communities are anxious and antsy and want to get going and want to have the opportunity to get going, at least for the most part from what I've heard. We're really all just kind of waiting right now until the state of Wisconsin releases their recommendations or their plan, if you will, for one, education in general, but then two, all of the co-curriculars that coincide with education. And we believe that's going to get released probably next week, if not the following. If the drop-dead date that we've been told is June 30th, that will get announced, but we think it's coming much sooner. We know there's a draft that's already been written up, and they're analyzing and reviewing the draft right now, and we'll see what the final product brings. But that will set a lot of the direction for school districts across the state, and then what does that mean? Then the dominoes start to fall as soon as that comes out. So is it a blanket statement to everyone does the same thing? Do school boards get to choose, you know, what they do in terms of coming back to school or staying virtual or hybrid, somewhere in between? And then if you got kids back in your buildings, then what does the WIA do with the recommendations from the state? Because I believe the WIA is in on the process. There's a task force, as far as I understand, with legislatures and governors and DPI and WIA and medical professionals. It sounds like they're all collaborating and working together. Once that comes out, then we'll know, you know where sports kind of lands. And my hope is, if and when we can get kids back in school, we can at least allow kids to do their co-curriculars and all the positive things that benefit them from a mental health standpoint as well. That go along with the school day. I mean, obviously, if we're not in school, it's hard to justify playing sports. But if we can get back in school, I think sports can happen. And, you know, they might happen without fans this first year. I mean, who knows? But as long as the kids can play, I think that's what everyone's kind of shooting for in the athletic world.
And I know you guys got a bunch of contingency plans and things are different. Different in terms of, I'm sure you're talking about cleaning of the materials, the locker room, stadiums. Are you guys talking about how you will try to proceed with those types of things?
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you ask that question, because about 4 hours ago we just did a complete walkthrough with one of our lead coaches and summer school instructors, our athletic trainer, myself, and our custodians, and we literally went through every kind of space we had in the school in terms of what does this look like? The kids are in it. How can we clean it efficiently? How can we stay on top of the disinfectants? Who's buying the disinfectants? Where is it coming from? What type of form is it in? And being able to manage all those processes, we just kind of had a big brainstorming session, made some notes, and took a look at things. But the protocols are going to be in that plan as well, I believe. I think there is going to be strong from the state DPI nurse is going to be pushing a lot of that stuff out with the health professionals, and we'll go down to district operations type people, and then, you know, really connect all of the other groups with teachers and athletics and everybody else. But it there's a lot of different contingency plans out there right now, and then, like, you look at youth sports, there's dance studios out there that are cleaning the dance studio after every dance session. They got girls and guys dancing in taped off boxes on the floor so that they're not intermingling. People are doing temperature checks, hand sanitizer. You know, the breakdowns at the end of practices, you know, those are at distance now, and it's kind of put your hand in on air and break it down that way. So there's a lot of different little things going on, but I think the main goal is just trying to get back up and get rolling and try and be as safe as possible as we go. And the one thing that we know is going to be constant is going to be change. So we're going to get started, and it's going to change again, and then it's going to change again, and we just got to roll with the punches.
There he is, Ryan McMillan, athletic director over at Muskego High School. Ryan, thanks so much for taking some of your time and coming on the One Each Big Show today.
You betcha. Thanks. I appreciate lot, you guys having me on, and I hope you fellas have a great weekend.
You too, Ryan. You take too, care. Everybody. There he is, Ryan McMillan on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Has your passion outgrown your home? The Great Midwest Bank Home Renovation Loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935 at Great Midwest
Bank. Well, that was a good
get. It was. Nicely done, Gary Ellerson.
Well, I mean, well, they're thinking, too. Maybe they go without the students. I mean, who knows?
See, this is my thing, though, Gary, and we don't have time to do this, but my thing, just quickly, and we just talked about this the other day. I mean, if you're going to have travel baseball leagues having fans and going to games and everything else, and if we get through the summer and we get to August and this was allowed to happen all summer, I just find it hard to believe that you're going to convince anybody that you can't have fans at a football game. Like, Because again, I mean, just go to some of these youth baseball tournaments on a weekend. You'll drive by them, I guarantee you, all summer, and just go pop your head in and see what it looks like. And I think with as big of facilities as they have, let's just take Muskego, for example. You should be able to allow parents in to watch their kids play football this fall. I mean, maybe you don't allow grandparents and everybody else in, but you should be at least able to allow parents in and let them sit distance from all the other parents that are on the whose kids are on the football team. I think at minimum that's probably what happens with football if and when football gets played. Maybe you don't have student sections and all that, but I still think there will be some fans probably allowed in football before it's all said and done. All right, coming up, we are going to talk a little bit what's going on in Minnesota, and we'll have Rami Makhlouf on at 3:35 to discuss that as well. Big things said by Jalen Rose earlier this morning on Get Up on ESPN. We're going to play those for you as well. Coming up next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.